in that time of worship, I was praying for you as well. I need the prayers that God would use me as his mouthpiece right now, but equally, I think, you need prayers that that God would soften each one of our hearts to hear his word tonight, and that we would each be good soil, is what Scripture describes it as, that we would be good soil, that when we hear the word spoken, that it would be planted and embedded within us to sprout up the fruits that he wants to see grow in our lives. And so I'm praying on your behalf right now that you came hungry for God's word to nourish you and strengthen you. And so that's what I'm praying for. Debbie's already read it, but I want to read it again, Psalm 121, before we get into the text. If you would, if you're able, would you stand as I just read God's word and we revere it. This is the word of God, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Thank you so much for standing in that. We started, you can be seated. We started in this series last week, going through the Psalms of Ascent. And that really is, if you weren't here last week, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. 15 Psalms there. And traditionally, it's understood as a collection of Psalms that were sung by pilgriming people to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. They would sing them as they progress forward, and as they progress forward, you can notice a progression from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134, the theme of turning from despair to hope and joyful excitement and exaltation of God's goodness as people are pilgriming from their far distant lands to the temple. And also, it is even said that there's a chance when they're going up the stairs of the temple, there's choirs or peoples singing from the lowest step to the top step. These psalms, and again, this progression of lowly despair up the steps to when you meet the temple doors, celebration. So we're going through these psalms, and I want to compare last week's, the first psalm, Psalm 120, with today's, Psalm 121. Both of them address hardship, right? Where does my help come from? The help comes from the Lord. And it really goes through, your foot will not be moved. He will keep you. He does not slumber. So it's really in the context of hardship, difficulty. The difference, I think, that we can see already in this first, from the first psalm to the second psalm, a progression there, is last week's really went from a point of despair and calling out to God, deliver me, O Lord, this is Psalm 120, deliver me, God, from these lying lips and from a deceitful tongue, so this crying out, God, I am so aware of the despair around me. But then it progresses to this confidence by the end of the psalm, that he is confident that the Lord hears his cries and responds to his cries. And that's what we talked about last week. I'm aware of my despair, but yet nonetheless, God hears and he responds. And so we can have that personal confidence. Well, I think Psalm 121 goes the next step. And from that confidence, We can say, my help comes from the Lord. That's the first part of the psalm. And it ends with comforting other people. If you notice in verse 3, he progresses from talking about his own personal realities and saying, I'm struggling and I lift my eyes up to the hills. He's my help. But then in verse 3, you notice this change. He will not let your foot be moved. And so what I want is just before we get into the text, I want you to see this theme from 120 to 121, a progression. Psalm 120, we got this confidence that God is for us personally. Now 121, we move on from that confidence to saying, I want to tell you how he's there for you. Okay, that's where we're at. That's, I think, the difference. We're making that from bottom step to the next step, moving forward. Today, I think, if I were to encompass this whole teaching, this whole psalm, I think it really talks about how we can comfort discouraged individuals that we know. How we can comfort discouraged individuals. People that are hurting, that are in despair. We can say, I've got some things to tell you. If you are in Christ, I've got some comforts to tell you. So how can we comfort discouraged individuals that we know? We all know them, hopefully, because we're in a fallen world where people are impacted by the fall. So hopefully we're in the trenches with these people, right? And walking through it with them. So as we're in the trenches with people, and they're in despair, and they're in discouragement, how can we comfort such people, discouraged people? Well, one, I've got 2 points here. The first one, it starts with really having a personal confidence in God. You have to first have a personal confidence in God to be able to give that comfort or confidence to somebody else. So it starts with you personally knowing and being comforted by the God who's with you and cares for you. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Personal confidence declared. He says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help, it comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our comforting other people starts with having a personal confidence of our own that God helps us. Notice this picture here in verses 1 and 2. This psalmist paints a picture for us. He first says, really, he describes how he's small in comparison to the mountains that are in front of him. I lift my eyes up to the hills that are in front of me. From where does my help come from? So really, he's, at the very beginning, painting a picture of, I am very small in comparison to all that's in front of me. It is massive. I lift my eyes up. I am small by the mountains that are towering over me. And yet, he says, this is really neat. Look at this. I lift my eyes up to the hills, so I'm smaller than the context right in front of me. I'm small compared to all that. Yet, my help comes from beyond the hills. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So the heavens that go beyond the hills, that are larger than the hills, and the earth. So really, first he starts with relating to people who are maybe in despair or overwhelmed. He says, look, I also lift my eyes up and see overwhelming circumstances. I see some big towering mountains in front of me. I think relating to people is really the first part of being able to comfort them. I also feel powerless and intimidated by what I see. Being able to say that to other people. You and I need to say, yes, my confidence comes from the Lord, but also, I also see the big mountains. I see the big mountains. I also have them. Doesn't mean that you have to know exactly what is going on in their life and be able to relate to that exactly. And what I mean by that is, say somebody is in despair with you and you're trying to comfort them, but you can't personally relate to what's going on in their life. Maybe you've never gone through what they're going through. Maybe you've never wrestled with cancer, but the person standing in front of you has. That's what's intimidating. That's the giant canvas right in front of them that they look their eyes up to. It's cancer. Or possibly you've never lost a loved one so close to you, but the person standing in front of you, they have. Never, maybe you've never been a victim to adultery, that you'd be cheated on by your spouse, but the person standing in front of you has, and they're hurting. And I don't want you in that moment to feel like you have nothing to say to that individual because you don't have such an obstacle in front of you. You never had something like that in front of you. You still have something to tell that person, even if you don't have the same story. I'll tell you a time in my own life, beginning pastoral ministry, I felt like I really had nothing to say to the people, really in so many different stages of life, because I started so young in pastoral ministry. I actually started before I was even married, and so I was trying to pastor people that were married. I wasn't married. Had kids, don't have kids. So many different things, and I felt, wow, how can I perform a wedding? I've never even been married myself. How can I perform a funeral? I've never done that before, and I felt so inadequate. I felt like I could never say anything in way of comfort to people or counsel to people. But I want to tell you that you not having the same struggles that are right in front of you, or not having the same experiences right in front of you like the person in front of you has, you still have something to say because you have the Word of God. And the Word of God speaks to that struggle. The Word of God speaks to that issue, speaks to their circumstance. And though you personally don't have any authority in that area, the Word of God that you're holding does. And the God that you serve does. And so when you say, I look up and I see different mountains, I see different intimidations, I don't have anything to tell you. You do. You have something to tell them. Because God is greater than all mountains, and He's higher than all of them. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. So I want you to see this picture here. It starts with having a personal confidence in God. He says, I too cower at the sight of large mountains that look bigger than me. But I look beyond that. I point to the God who made them. And He made the heavens, and He made the earth. I point to Him, I see Him, and that's who my confidence is. Not in me, my confidence is not in me, because those mountains are way bigger than me. But I look to Him who's beyond them, and I want to point you to that God as well. We all have something to say to despairing people, even if we don't have the same experiences. Because you're not pointing to yourself for their comfort. You're pointing to the God beyond the mountains. So that's the first thing I want us to see here. How do we comfort discouraged individuals that we know? It starts with having a personal confidence, not in yourself, but in God. He says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. He says, man, where does my help come from? And he tells us, my help comes from the God beyond them, the God that's greater than them, that's bigger than them. The second thing that I want us to see here, we need to have a personal confidence in God, but secondly, we need to turn that confidence into comfort. Take our personal confidence in the God that is with us and is greater than the mountains, and He is big, and we put our confidence in Him, turn that into then comfort, and comfort somebody with the God that's bigger than mountains, all mountains, right? All mountain ranges. Turn it into comfort. The text that we have here in front of us offers four comforts that we can confidently offer to discouraged people if their help comes from the Lord. If they seek the Lord's help and they trust in the Lord for help, we can give them four comforts out of this text. And I want to walk through each one of them with you, okay? Four comforts that we can give individuals when they're hurting, when they're in despair. Let's walk through them. The first one is in verse 3. This is what it reads. He will not let your foot be moved. The first comfort that we can give is that God will be your stability. And notice again that the psalmist here was saying, where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Okay, now let me tell you some comforts. I have my own confidence, now I'm going to tell you, he will not let your foot be moved. He will not let your foot be moved. God will be your stability if your help is found in him. That's the first comfort. God will be stability for us. He won't let us be shaken so much that life just crumbles us. He'll be your stability. Your foot won't move. He's your rock. He's your foundation. It's kind of embarrassing to even tell. I was teaching at a kids camp this past summer. It was for foster children. And I'm not one that, you'll learn with my preaching, I'm not one to use fun little teaching analogies, kind of demonstration props up on stage. I really just kind of want to stand behind the pulpit and just preach. But with these kiddos, and a lot of people are saying, well, you know, just kind of make this lighthearted and fun and interactive. And so different atmosphere. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll do like a prop demonstration and teaching. Well, my teaching was from the Sermon on the Mount. If you know the passage, at the very end, it's Matthew 7, where he says, the one who trusts in these words, what he just taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, he who trusts in, and this is a paraphrase, he who trusts in these words is like a house built on a solid foundation, on rock. But the one who hears these words and ignores them is like a house built on sand, and it'll eventually crumble, right? Maybe you know the passage. And so I was teaching on that, and just teaching on the authority of Scripture and the power of Scripture to govern our lives, and how we really need to just trust in God's Word and that He will lead us through life. Well, that was the premise of what I was teaching. And my little prop demonstration, not my personality at all, felt very out of place doing this. But I had two cardboard boxes, and one of them I filled with bricks to the very top, folded it in, and so it's just a box that's filled with bricks. And then the second box, I took a bunch of buckets of sand and just filled them with sand. And then I had a volunteer come up and say, okay, so there's one house, firm foundation, represents someone that trusts in the Word of God. Another box, shaky foundation, built on sand. And then I pointed to the person that I had come up and I said, I need you to be my storm. Storms go through all individuals' lives. I need you to run your storm through this neighborhood and hit both of these houses equally. And so he goes and stomps on the box of bricks that's filled with bricks. Nothing happened to the box, right? And then he stomps all over the box that's filled with sand, and the sand just goes everywhere. And anyway, that was the demonstration that I was giving, that there's a firm foundation, that God is stable and he is immovable, and when you trust in him, you will not be crumbled by the difficulties in life. Well, that was a silly prop demonstration for a kiddo, for kids to hear about the Word of God, but I think that truth also remains for you and I. I won't demonstrate it for you here, but telling you about it, I think we can learn from it. It really rings true that whenever you have God and he is with you and he is your Lord and he is where your help comes from, you are like that box filled with bricks, and you won't be overcome by the storm that goes through your life. If you don't, you'll be like filled with sand, and sand goes everywhere and life crumbles. But God is our stability. He will not let your foot be moved. Verse 3. So that's our first comfort, and maybe you need to hear that comfort tonight. God will keep you steady when everything around you is shaky. I want you to hear that, because maybe that's for you. God will keep you steady when everything else looks shaky. The second comfort that we can give people confidently is that God will be attentive to you. He will be attentive. Continue reading in verse 3 with me. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God will be attentive. This is a comfort that we can give to discouraging people. God's going to be attentive. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. This should remind us of the text but of Elijah with the priests of Baal at Mount Carmel, right? And they can't get their sacrifice to light and come up in flames. And so Elijah's mocking them. And what's he say? Maybe your God is slumbering. Maybe he's sleeping. Yell louder. That's not our God. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Another story. I want you to get to know me a little bit, so I'll include one more story before I'm done. My dad has always been pretty good about answering the phone. Some parents aren't. My mom isn't. She does not answer her phone ever. But my dad, he's pretty good at answering the phone and picking up when I need him. One particular time, and I'll be quick with this one. But my wife, whenever we were dating and we went to a school dance, and prom goes very late, and there was like an after prom, and so it was like 3 a.m, and we're like been in the school all night long with all the students, and I'm about to leave and go home with some friends and her, and go to get in the car, and we can't find the keys. It's a bad thing when it's like 2 or 3 a.m. and you can't find your keys. And you want to get home and sleep. Well, Sarah was in the car sleeping, waiting for me, or waiting next to in the car. I just couldn't open it, or I couldn't turn it on. She was sleeping for about 45 minutes while I was trying to get those keys found. I was looking all throughout the parking lot, couldn't find them, so I finally called my dad, hey, I need you to come pick us up. We'll just have to leave the car here overnight. So he's driving at 3 a.m, not very happy, to go pick us up. And when we get out of the car to jump in his car, the keys fall out of Sarah's pocket. The one sleeping in the car for almost an hour while I was looking for those keys. My dad was so gracious to answer the phone. But he won't always answer the phone. And he's not always reliable, even right now. But eventually, right, if we're being honest, I mean, my dad's not always going to be there for me. But you know who will? God. God will. He never sleeps nor slumbers. So maybe you need that comfort today. You may feel alone, may feel forgotten by God, not seen. Or maybe your pain, you don't feel like it's acknowledged. But God promises that he will always be attentive to those who find help in him. Maybe you need that today. God is always attentive. Find comfort in that. I want to go quickly through the next two. God will protect you. That's another comfort that we can offer. Verse 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade over your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. This is the third comfort that we can give, that God will protect you. He's your protector. We can give this confidence and this comfort to other people. And it's interesting that he uses this imagery of the sun won't attack you during the day and the moon won't overcome you by night. So again, you have these massive hills that are right in front of the psalmist, and he says, my help comes from the Lord that's greater than these mountains. And then he also says to the person he's talking to, I want you to know, your obstacles may look like the sun and may look like the moon. But let me tell you, the sun and the moon will not overcome you because my Lord is the one who made the heavens and the earth. I want to point you to him. He is your protector, even when your concerns are as massive as the sun and the moon, much larger than the authors. His were the hills. Regardless, they pose no threat, because his help comes from the Lord who made them all. Our God is our protector. Lastly, God will keep you. Verses 7 and 8, we'll finish the psalm here. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I want to tell you, anyone that's discouraged and despaired, you can give them comfort if they are in the Lord, that he will keep them. He'll keep them. He'll hold on to them. What does that mean to be kept by God? It's also in, if you know the doxology there, number 6:24, Lord bless you, may he keep you, make his face shine upon you, you know this. May the Lord keep you. This can also be translated as preserve. He will preserve you through the decades of hardships, and toil, and strife. He will preserve you through it. He will keep you as like a remnant. He will keep you through it. You should be reminded of Philippians 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will preserve you. He will keep you through it all and endure you through it. You may get covered up in dirt and grime, may get scars and bumps, chips on your edges over the years. Maybe the color will fade, but hear me, he will preserve you. He will keep you in his hands. He will keep you. And he will do that forever. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth forevermore. So I want to just say before we're done, maybe you need this comfort. You may be tired of being tired and discouraged about the extent of your discouragement. Let me tell you that he has you. And he will never let you go. He will never let you go. He will keep you. So may we all find personal confidence in the Lord for our hardships. And then may we take that confidence in the Lord and turn it into comfort for other people. My help comes from the Lord, so let me tell you what he will do for you. I encourage you, don't make this a self-focused journey, walking to the temple to worship God. It's not about just us enduring. Yes, we can say, my help comes from the Lord, but may we turn that around and point to others and say, let me tell you, comforts for you. Let's not make this a self-focused journey, pilgrimage to the temple to worship God. Let's make this a journey where we pull others along with us and be attentive to their needs on the journey, that we would give them comforts such as God is stable in hard times. God is attentive to your needs. He sees. God is your protector. And God is your keeper. He will keep you. These are all comforts that we should, one, have confidence in, but then also share with others in despairing and hard times. Let's pray. Lord, we turn to you, for we know our help comes from you. We thank you so much for it, God. You are a good God. Lord, would you help us to find that confidence personally? To know that our help comes from the Lord, even when our obstacles may look like mountains in front of us, we can say, my help comes from him who goes beyond the mountains. And would we turn that confidence into comfort for other people? To tell them that, God, you are a stable God, you are a protecting God, you are an attentive God, and you are ultimately our keeper through all hardships. Would we comfort others with our own confidence in your goodness? Lord, we thank you so much that you do keep your people. In your name we pray. Amen.